You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, commentator Dr. Gary Joyner takes a look back at many towns that once were, but are now ghostly memories of the past.
When I say the words ghost town, what comes to mind? Do you think of the ghost towns of Western movie fame? Some have been developed as tourist destinations, so you may have visited one on a vacation. These old mining towns have iron scaffolds and machinery leading to a hole in the ground, old buildings, the wood perfectly preserved in the dry heat of the desert. You may not realize that the Arklatex has its own ghost towns, places that once thrived and now are only waypoints on road maps or signs along the road indicating that a town was once there. These once thriving municipalities exist in every state, but you don't see them as you zoom through on the interstate. In fact, the interstate is often cited as a contributing factor in the decline of some rural towns. If you take the back roads, you'll see them, and perhaps you'll wonder why they withered and some died. A university study in Louisiana estimated that for every town in existence in our region, there may have been 9 others that are no longer there. So why did they fail? The answer is twofold, the most common being economics and the other politics. When you think about it, there is often a real correlation between economics and politics. Towns exist where there is an economic need to be filled. Commerce drives their growth. In some instances, towns develop because they are convenient places to live for people who work nearby. The term bedroom community can be applied to some small towns near metropolitan areas. If you remove the commerce or something happens that affects the livability of the town, the population decreases. Most of the ghost towns in our regions were created by the oil boom or the timber boom. What did it take to make a successful town? Most had some basic structures. A post office, a store, perhaps a school, a church or two, a bank, and a town hall. Boom towns also included saloons, bawdy houses, and other distractions to separate workers from their wages. When oil fields dried up or when the vast forests of yellow and white pines were harvested, the jobs disappeared and so did the people. This rarely happened overnight. As people departed, businesses struggled to survive, hoping for better days that were not to materialize. Between my hometown of Farmerville and the neighboring village of Marion in Union Parish lie 16 miles of Louisiana Highway 33 and a parallel roadbed from the Iron Mountain Railroad. Within that 16 miles, 6 additional towns once existed, all viable, all with streets and stores, workers and families. Once the timber was cut, the railroad line ripped up its rails and the towns disappeared with them, leaving only Marion and Farmerville. Rum Center is another Union Parish ghost town that had only one economic activity, moonshine. Money was plentiful, so much so that the town built a municipal baseball field. One day during Prohibition, the revenuers arrived, smashed the stills, and rounded up the moonshine entrepreneurs on the ball field. Some were arrested, some were told to go and sin no more. The town was dead, with only remnants of the ball field remaining. Boom towns like Oil City and Caddo Parish and Fisher and Sabine Parish sprang up almost overnight in response to economic factors, in these cases oil and timber. It's hard to visualize them as thriving metropolises. As you pass through a sleepy town along a 2-lane highway, consider the ghosts of the past, those rabble-rousing oilfield workers and lumberjacks who did their work and moved on to the next boom. Ghost towns and sleepy villages are a very real phenomenon in America, and one you won't read about often in history books, but they are history that matters.
Dr. Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport and is featured each Tuesday morning at 7:45 on Red River Radio.